This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back again for another pop culture roundup. Exciting
getting
stuff.
Getting back to basics. Yeah.
And
I know, what a week.
I feel like we should open with the question, Shelby, do you think you fell out of a coconut tree? Or do you exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you?
Yeah, for sure.
Or are you just a brat?
Yeah, no. I mean, all of the above, I guess.
Are you living in a woman's world and you're lucky to be living in it?
Yeah, I'm so soft, so strong. I'm sexy, confident.
It's been a really big
so
week for women.
So intelligent. Yeah.
Well, I guess Women's World came out 2 weeks ago. We sort of missed the week on
no,
it.
But it's important.
But I would like to discuss it anyways.
Yeah. I think that's honestly the most important thing to come out of news recently. I mean, nothing has set us up for conversation and a shift in the zeitgeist quite like Katy Perry's really, really sarcastic, really, really satire.
It's satire. It's like the male gaze, but it's not the male gaze, but it's the male gaze.
As shot and directed by, as produced by noted rapist Dr. Luke. Yay!
Alleged. Alleged. We don't want to get sued.
Rapist.
Alleged rapist.
Ugh. Yeah. Eh. Yeah. Ugh, that's how I feel. Honestly, we've talked about this. The Women's World coming out because it's been like just completely panned on TikTok when there was only a clip snippet to digest. But then, yeah, the whole song came out. I immediately saw headlines saying it was the worst thing ever. I watched the music video and it's exactly what you expect. I mean, it just proves how out of touch Katy Perry, all celebrities probably are, and how cheap like the idea of feminism is to most people in positions of privilege.
Well, and the feminine divine, if you're Katy Perry.
The feminine divine, of course. All of us are regrouping to find the gas nozzle. We too can stick up our own asses. You know, it's like, I'm glad that's finally getting the representation it needs. You know, do we feel like a plastic bag floating through the wind? I don't know. I feel more like
Are you more of a Katy Perry flattened by an anvil, or a Katy Perry gas nozzle up her butt, or a Trisha Paytas pulling a monster truck, or the random gay construction workers just gizzing for no reason in the background? Lots of options.
Absolute nonsense. It's one thing to have a bad song. It's another thing to like double down on it. Like, it's like, at least, you know, Taylor Swift has never mentioned me again, or she hasn't like been like, no, you guys just didn't get the music video, you know? Whereas Katy Perry, as soon as everyone was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, she comes out with her behind the scenes clip to be like, no, 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 it's satire. You guys,
it's
I'm
so
in
smart.
On the joke.
It's so smart. I think it's crazy. I mean, there's so many different pieces of this that are bad, but it's like, I think genuinely coming into this album cycle, people were sort of excited for a Katy Perry comeback. She's had a couple of good songs that haven't really got much traction over the last couple of years. She had the Vegas residency, which I think some people thought was fun. Like, she has lots of bops in her discography. So I feel like I was sort of like, if Katy Perry comes out with some good songs, like, I am excited to listen to them. But she somehow managed to pick all of the worst possible options. It's like, first she's working with Dr. Luke, which is obviously going to be a red flag. And like, sure, maybe in her Hollywood bubble, she doesn't see that that's an issue. But her PR people, like, if they were worth anything, should have noticed, okay, this is probably going to be a problem for some people or another. Like, at the very least, there's going to be some controversy involved in this, where we could pick a producer where there's just nothing about them because they're not a famous person in the same way. So I don't understand why she sort of like went out of her way to shoot herself in the foot with that. But then to pair Dr. Luke with a feminist anthem, and then also for the song to be so like drab and boring, and then to have a weird music video, and then to have the longest, most like pomp and circumstance filled rollout, because it's not like she just dropped this song and it did poorly and nobody listened to it. She was teasing it for like a month ahead of time. So yeah, when it came out, people were fixated on it. Like, I saw so many reviews of just this one song. It's not like the album is out, of the music video. Like, everybody was waiting to see what this looked like by the time it came out, and it just crashed and burned so horrifically. My favorite part of this whole process, though, was that all of the people who hate Dr. Luke because of what he did to Kesha then got on the Kesha bandwagon and were streaming Kesha's new song, Joyride, which is way better than Katy Perry's. And that passed Katy Perry on the charts by like a ton. And I was like, yeah, I love our new like chart espionage that we've perfected with the Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears stuff. And now we're, you know, working on with Kesha. Like, great. Let's tank some more people who are bad.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not promising for her album 143 whenever that comes out. And yeah, it just wasn't fun. It wasn't pleasant. It was basically, she's like, oh yeah, it's not the male gaze. It's not the male gaze. But it's literally just like her body checking herself for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Like, it's just her looking hot. And obviously you can look hot through the female gaze, but like the way it was shot, the way everything was processed, like, it's like, what is satire to you, to Katie? Like, the first half and the second half have the same setup, the same color scheme, the same ideas. It's just, I want to pick her brain. I want to understand if she thought about it at all, or if she just is, you know, churning it out, trying to get that generic pop women's girls summer song out. But it's not it. It's truly painful and bad.
Well, at least it won't be used in any of Kamala's campaign stuff, because I do feel like the fact that Roar was so attached to Hillary Clinton has a vague sense of bad luck about it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's keep that juju away. Like, she can go, Katy Perry can go perform, you know, some random plays. We don't need her anywhere near any political events in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if Taylor Swift wanted to prove her status in our almost feudalistic society and honestly buy the election in a way, all she would need to do is trot out Kamala at her next American show and like announce Rep TV, like, as she sings I Did Something Bad with Kamala flashing in the background, you know. Like, it's like there's opportunity here to make an easy win, and there's plenty of girly pop anthems to do it with pop stars who maybe are more inclined to get involved than, say, Chapel Roan's use of feminine phenomenon. she doesn't like this administration. You gotta leave Chapel Roan's name out of this, please. She's already divested from them, no matter how you want to like spend this win for feminism now. Well, use a Taylor Swift song instead.
Charlie XCX said that Kamala was brat. So yeah, on Twitter, the endorsement of the century, honestly, for the gays at least.
Yeah.
So, of course. So we got her on board. I'm like, yeah, just looking at the election upcoming from a pop culture perspective, I am interested to see what Beyonce does, because she was obviously very involved with the Obama campaign. Kamala's a black woman, so that would seemingly sort of play into Beyonce's brand in a way that I don't think Biden really did. So I'm sort of interested to see if anything happens on that front.
Yeah.
This is early days because we're recording this on Monday. So Biden just dropped
she doesn't
out
even have the
yesterday.
She doesn't even have the DNC official
right.
What is it? Nomination lockdown.
Yeah. Although it seems ticket. Like that's like definitely going to happen, right? Because like everybody and their mother is endorsing her. And I don't know who would be running against her in the whatever. Yeah. We got to get the delegates. The delegates are in flux. They're untethered or whatever it's called. It's like, what? This is so, politics is so confusing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a really fun, fun system we've created for ourselves. No flaws.
Well, obviously, I love the Supreme Court. Let's keep that.
Yeah, no, it was big news. I mean, thank the Lord. I was ready for Biden to not run 6 years ago, but, you know, better late than never. So, yay.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, it does give the Democratic Party a lot of energy, and I feel like something to coalesce around in a way that we haven't had so far. So I think that's a good thing, especially if we want to talk about the Republican side of things. They, you know, Trump picked J.D. Vance, who wrote Hillbilly Elegy, which we did an episode of the podcast on, and he seems like a just nightmare of epic proportions and completely spineless. Then, you know, at the Republican National Convention, people were trotting out all kinds of things that I was like, oh gosh, this is like the darkest timeline. So really, I will take Kamala and the sort of energy and okay, everybody, let's just like endorse her and let's go for it kind of vibe, because the whatever sort of I feel like Trump in his years off and not on Twitter like receded a bit, and then in the past couple of weeks has like come back into full focus for me, and I'm like, oh, actually this is heinous, like we cannot do this again, like I will chop off my arm to prevent it from happening.
Well, and I mean, the GOP should be so embarrassed having such an old candidate, like honestly,
I know, ancient.
So old, so confused all the time.
Wait, my favorite part of the Republican Party currently are all the people wearing the fake bandages over their ears. I'm like, you guys, like, let's be serious for 2 seconds. This looks ridiculous.
Yeah, we're living in a Veep episode. Like, that's what's wild is how perfectly aligned Veep can be, especially now that Biden's dropped out and the vice president, Miss Veep, is running in his place. It's literally a storyline in the show. So
the Veep clips going on. Yesterday was a great day to be on Twitter. Like top 10 days to be on Twitter, because the tweets were just incredible. Everybody's working at the highest level, and the like Kamala montages to coconuts and the Veep scenes and the memes. It was just really top-notch stuff, and I applaud everybody who was involved.
Yeah, lots of creativity for sure.
Was Threads popping off as well, Shelby?
Yeah, I'm not on Threads, thank you very much.
Wait, so you're just not on either?
I'm on Instagram, I'm on TikTok, and then I read the news, so.
Okay, fancy.
Miss I try.
CNN, whatever.
I know. So I saw all the major tweets find their way to whatever visual roundup I
put about 50 of them on Instagram. So you got to see those at least.
Yeah. But honestly, more important to me is the story of you causing a city crisis at your movie theater last night. I have been waiting for this story all day.
Yes. And I'm sort of segueing this into Love It or Hate It because I went and saw Long Legs and I also want to discuss that. I assume you did not see that movie.
I have not, but I read the spoilers.
Okay. So yesterday, Last night I decided to go see a movie. I realized I'm behind on a bunch of movies that, you know, have come out over the last couple weeks, and for whatever reason I haven't seen. So I was like, okay, I need to catch up on some of these. This is getting embarrassing. So I went to see Long Legs in theater, at the theater that's right near my apartment. I go there all the time. It's a really nice theater for the most part. Like, it's pretty clean. It's usually pretty empty. I got popcorn and whatnot, like, sat in the recliner seats. I'm chilling. And I'm, like, the only person in my row. The theater, I went to the 9 o'clock screening on a Sunday night. So there was maybe, like, 10 people in the theater. It was not busy. We're watching Long Legs. We get probably two-thirds of the way through the movie. We're at, like, one of the big climactic scenes. And all of a sudden, like, I start hearing things sort of like under my seat, and I'm confused, and I'm already sort of like in a heightened state because there's, you know, stuff going on and the movie's pretty scary. And then this rat runs out from underneath my chair. I shriek because I'm like, like, if I see rats all the time in the city, I'm not that fazed by rats. Like, rats are not that scary to me as animals. But the rat showing up in the movie theater while watching a horror movie.
Talk about
movie,
a jump scare.
Yes, was a jump scare. So I screamed. Obviously, then everybody else in the theater is like confused as to what's happening, because because it's not like, it's a tense scene, but it's not like it was a jump scare and I screamed. So they're turning around like, you know, and I think in today's age, when someone just starts screaming in a public event, there's instant cause panic for concern. So then I'm like, no, it's a rat. It's a rat. I saw a rat. Sorry, everybody. There was a rat.
No. Reenact. What's the tone? What are you saying? How loud? Like, what's... Are you screaming to the theater? Are you crawling into a hole embarrassed?
The thing is, like, I screamed mostly because the rat came out. Like,
Once
I knew the rat was there, I then was not, like, afraid anymore. So it wasn't like I was standing on my seat, like, screaming. I was mostly then, yes, embarrassed that I had screamed in the middle of the theater. But I was also like, well, there is a rat in this theater now. So I like, and people want to, like, I'm not, like, I was like, I have to explain myself because like, why was I screaming at this part? Like, this is weird. So I'm like, oh, like, there's a rat up here, everybody. Like, there's a rat. Sorry. So then everyone's like, ah. We're all like sort of leaving. Like, I'm like, okay, we gotta go report the fact that there's a rat in the theater. So we go out, but there's probably only like 20 minutes of the movie left. So they're like, okay, we'll give you like a free voucher or whatever, which I'm like, okay, this isn't that helpful to me because I have A-list, but I'm like, I guess I can now bring a friend for free or something. So they're like, okay, they, you know, somebody goes in there or whatever. They're like, oh, but it's late at night. So they're like, oh, like, do you want to watch the rest of the movie still? And I was like, yeah, like someone was like, yeah. So then they put us in a different theater and like, sort of like restarted it kind of where it was, and then we watched like the last little bit of it, and then I got my voucher and went home. But
so were people generally grateful to you, or did you get some stink eyes?
No, I think people were grateful. Like, I think initially people were scared, but then I don't think anybody really wanted to be in a theater with a rat. And I think that the general, like, group, I mean, there wasn't that many of us, and everybody sort of seemed like, yeah, I don't want to be in the theater with the rat. And if I had seen the rat in the middle of that scene, I probably also would have screamed. Like, I think if I had been in there with some film bro-y kind of people, like, maybe they would have been not thrilled. But it was like, you know, a couple... There was like right in front of me, there was like a double date kind of thing going on. Like, there was some like another group of friends. Like, there wasn't that many people. So,
yeah.
But
amazing.
All that being said, then I got home and I posted about it, and somebody else was like, wait, were you at the AMC Kips Bay? Because that happened to me at my Long Legs screening as well.
Oh my gosh.
So there must be some sort of rat thing going on at the theater. Because also, when I told the workers, they did not like, they were like, they didn't seem like, oh my gosh, this has never happened before.
Right. So they're like, ugh.
They're like, exactly. They're like, which theater? Like, which seat? Where were you? Okay. Like, let me write that down. So hopefully they'll get the rat problem under control, because the theater that I go to has like a basement and then a second floor. So I'm on the second floor. I'm like well above street level. And then I was sitting in the back row of the theater. So like elevated. And the rat was still up
right
there
next to that wall, though, you know. Probably a little nest in the in the wall.
Part of the scary part, and I think part of what like also made me scream was I heard this rustling, and at first I thought it was someone behind me because there was there's like a sort of a row behind the last row of chairs where you can like walk to get to the exits. And so I was like, wait, is someone like sneaking up on me? So then I turned around and was like looking around to see if I could see somebody and couldn't. And then the rat ran out.
That's gross. That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's wow. You really survived so much.
I know. Truly. And I also survived Long Legs, which was a bad movie. So.
Well, but you were scared.
Yes.
You felt like.
But it was intense. So the plot of the movie is this. There's this woman. She's like an FBI agent. It's in the 90s. There's some sort of serial killer-ish sort of thing going on where these families all end up dead, where like the man of the male person of the house like kills the wife and children and then kills himself. And it's happened at a bunch of different places. And so the FBI is trying to figure out like, wait a second, like what, like what's happening? Is someone forcing the husband to kill these people? Like, is he under some kind of spell? And it all happens to be revolving around a birthday. And it just so happens that the woman who is on the case, her birthday is like the same birthday that all of the rest of these killings are sort of like circling. And then also she's like sort of a little clairvoyant. Like she can kind of, you know, be like, oh, I think like this is, like, I think the killer's going to be in that house. Like, she solved some other crimes before this, just kind of based on vibes. And Nicolas Cage plays this sort of creepy man who's involved, who has, like, a lot of prosthetics on, like, white face, white hair, like, you, and is doing a weird voice. I don't think you would necessarily even recognize that it was Nicolas Cage if you didn't know that. But it just sort of like goes off the rails in a way that is somehow both not fun and kind of boring, but is also, but the whole thing is also really tense. And it's also one of those movies that's just kind of miserable. It's not like a fun horror, but then if you're not going to give me fun horror, you really have to either be like saying something or like doing something clever, and you get to the end and it's sort of like, what? Like, what? Like the ending I thought was really unsatisfying. I did not like it. That being said, some people online are like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. Like 10 out of 10. Yeah. And I went to my letterbox and it was a lot of conflicting opinions. There were people who were like, trash, 1 star. And then people were like, this is genius, 5 stars. But yeah. I was in the trash group.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, your star system on Letterboxd, can I just say, it confuses me. It
in what
bewilders
way?
And baffles. Well, because it'll be like, I'll be surprised. I mean, for instance, I haven't talked to you about it yet, and nor have I read your review. But I was like, oh, Twister's got 4 stars. That's pretty dope. But then I'm not sure, because the 4 stars to me would be like, oh, this is like nearly perfect. This is a great film. But to do 1.5 stars, that's like miserable. That's like nothing good comes of it. Like that's what you would give Men, right? Like, or is Men like 0 stars?
I mean, Men, I think I hated more than Long Legs. Like Men, I probably, like, I don't know what I gave that, but it has to be like just about as low as you can get. I'm like, let me investigate.
I know. And then I feel like, you know, it's just, I never can, I guess the real thing is that I just can't predict what you'll think about a movie. Because I think it's like, you know, like, what did you give The Idea of You? Like a 5, probably.
Wait, somehow or another, I gave Men 2.5 stars.
Exactly. See, you're confusing yourself. Wait,
but you know what? I think some of my old reviews are confusing, though, because I like brought them over from IMDb. So I maybe gave it 2.5 stars on IMDb out of 10, and then I hated that movie. But anyways, I think this is my general premise of how I rate things. I think if a movie is like well executed and well put together and does a good job and does what it's supposed to, it gets a 7. Like that's
okay.
Like, I think, like, a solid movie gets a 7. And then,
which is, like, 4 stars?
Oh, which is 3. which is 3.5 stars. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So then, yeah, because see, I'm used to grading things on the IMDb chart, which has 10. Yeah, okay. And then now I'm going off Letterboxd. So yeah, so like a 7, which yeah. I guess is a 3.5. And then if it's like a little bit better than that, like if there's stuff about it that I like extra that I think is well done, then it gets an 8. If I like it more, then it gets a 9. If it's like a top, like all-time favorite, then it gets the full 5 stars. However, I think that my ratings like lower are less, are sort of like more confusing. Like if it's like yeah. almost there, but has a couple of problems, then it gets a 6. If it's like, then it gets a 5. You, in order to get like a 1 or 2 stars, I really have to like actively hate it. Like it can't just yeah. be sort of like a meh movie. It has to like 5 stars. I feel like is kind of meh. But lower like than
recently,
that is like,
anyone despise. But you scored
yes,
a half
hate
star
it.
Point.
Yeah,
for you.
Terrible. Like absolutely horrific.
So this is a little bit better than that, but less good than, say, Pain Hustlers.
Pain Hustlers is bad too. The thing, I think the thing with this
Wonka
is like
is worse than Wonka.
Wonka. What did I give Wonka?
2.
Yeah, Wonka's bad. Oof. The thing with this is, like, it did have, like, it was sort of, like, well shot, so there was that going on with it. The thing is, I hate movies that aren't, like, the either A, are not, like, doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if it is sort of doing something in a, or, like, trying something in a fun way, then I give it more credit. You know, if you're like Fast and the Furious yeah. or whatever, it's like, okay, this isn't a great movie necessarily, but it's yeah. like, it's fun and it's energetic yeah. and it's not like painful to watch. And, you know, it sort of is giving me what I want to give, what it is, you know, so I'll give that like 3 stars, 2.5 stars, like yeah. something in that range. Yeah. But like Anyone But You was just like, it was so profoundly like unfunny. And
right. like they phoned it in a way.
Yes, it was just like every possible turn was bad. And yeah. this movie, I think, like, just the script is so bad and it takes itself so seriously. And you right. can tell that it thinks it's such hot shit. And it's like, no, this is not well done. Like, right. and also, this is just like a miserable movie to watch because you're watching these like children and people like die right. in a horror yeah. way that's not like a fun slasher, but in a way that's like depressing.
But like, do you like things like Insidious or like, you know, like some
yeah,
of those
but
more
I think
newer
some of those
like,
are more campy. Like this isn't really like this could have
right
been
so
campy.
This is like artistic. This is like an It Follows or like a
this is like a
but like without any real message.
Yeah, this definitely is in the more like A24 like highbrow right. kind of horror movies
yeah.
that just like doesn't quite hit it.
Or like Cuckoo.
Well, I loved Cuckoo. I saw yeah. that also. And that I think is great.
Yeah.
But Cuckoo is also like campier. Like Cuckoo like knows that it's doing some like it takes itself way less seriously than this does.
Okay, yeah. It's hard because Nick Cage, in essence, is campy, but it doesn't come through as campy in this.
Well, he just is kind of weird, but his right. character, he's not actually in it a lot.
Right,
so
right.
the part, like, I do think that he's probably the most interesting part of the movie, but he's not really in it a ton. And even and his involvement sort of doesn't really make that much sense.
Right.
So
interesting. I thank you for breaking that down for me, honestly. I love a good moment to regroup and really figure out your
brain. I'm like what have I ranked recently that you have questions about? I'm like, let me go. No. This all makes sense in my mind. I'm like, A Quiet Place Day One. I gave 4 stars. So that's like 8. Yeah. So that's like, it's good, but it's good plus.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Gaga Chromatica Ball. I gave 10.
You gave it 5.
It's,
yeah.
It's Lady
you gave
Gaga.
It perfect
and
score.
It's
yeah.
my mother. I'm required to. Like Furiosa, I gave 6. So it's like.
You gave it 3. Yeah.
It's a little bit less than good.
Yeah. Which I mean, this is just proof of why Rotten Tomatoes scores are sort of hard to really like take as a real statistic, because again, it's like nebulous. There's a certain impossibility to really unpacking like numeric scores and what that actually says about a film.
Yes. So. But then there are things like Madame Web, which I gave 4 stars.
Yeah,
to,
you love it. Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, well, this is crazy. Like,
I think you value humor. I think you value a perspective that leans towards zany or playful.
If something is campy, I am going to love it.
And so you loved the hole in the floor horror because there was a lot of weirdness and humor in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like something that feels like it's not necessarily taking itself too seriously or is like willing to sort of try some things. But I also like stuff that's done smartly. And I feel like the best movies are movies like Challengers, which I think like combines those two things where it is really smart, but it's also like not afraid to be a little wacky sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's great.
Or like Everything Everywhere All at Once.
6 years in for this. I think that's
another movie that's like obviously really smart, but like does like, you know,
My Big Fat Liar. Yeah, yeah.
Big Fat Liar. A great movie. Like Ocean's 11, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Maxine?
That's what I'm looking for. No, I did not like Maxine that much.
You didn't like that? Okay.
Did you see Maxine? No.
Of course I did not. No.
I really liked, I think Pearl is the best of those three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Maxine is trying to do too much. There's a little, like, there are some really good moments in it, but it also feels a little all over the place.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, what did I give Maxine?
Well,
like,
thank you.
Six?
Yeah, no, that
probably.
I don't know. I don't see it on here. I don't think you've updated your letterbox with it, but that's
fine. Oh, yeah. No, here it is. It's 6. Yeah, yeah. 3 stars. Oh, right below Sex and the City 2, which I gave 3.5 stars. And I stand by that. Because that is campy.
Right. Okay. We're getting there. We're figuring it out. I love it.
What's your love or hate it?
Thank you. My love it or hate it is a book. So.
Okay. Well, famously, I
read the news and I read books. I'm really present in the tangible right now. But no, I read this on vacation and I really loved it and haven't stopped thinking about it. It's called When We Lost Our Heads by Heather O'Neill. And it's from like a couple of years ago. And it's kind of one of those you either love it or you hate it books. But it's about like these two girls in like the late 19th century Montreal. And they're like very upper class. And so it's like these girls who are sort of like toxic best friends who can't help but like destroy themselves and the people around them. And it ends up becoming this really interesting tale of like capitalism and like it's like an allegory almost of industrial revolution and revolution in general and capitalism and feminism and what it means to be a woman in this patriarchal world and like the good and bad and ugly of it all. And I just thought it was delightful and all the characters are so interesting. And it was just like I was highlighting left and right just because I found the way she wrote was so good. And even though most of the characters are like very bad and not likable and oftentimes annoying and, you know, eye roll inducing altogether, I felt like it had a really compelling commentary about feminism and intersectionality and all of that. So
okay.
I would recommend it. I would recommend it for any and all, especially of the women identifying folk, because I think it captured the essence of so many of those layers that, I mean, circling back to Katy Perry, can often be played for cheap or misunderstood or watered down in a way that becomes more like, yes, queen, like support all women, when in actuality, like women, women can be agents of the patriarchy in a really frightening way. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind.
Yes, they certainly can. Terrifying things. How long is it?
It's a doozy, but it reads fast. So it's like 480 pages.
Okay, that's not terrible. Wait, have you read Night Bitch?
No, but it's on my list.
Okay. I mean, I just assume that if I have gotten to a book, that you will have already read it like 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I know.
And that's like pretty short and I feel like was pretty buzzy. Yeah. I feel like you'd probably like it. It's about motherhood. So
right.
at the very least, the I think you would find it interesting. Yes. Oh, yes. And it's a movie that Amy Adams is starring in coming out later this year. So
I mean, yeah, like unlike you, I sometimes struggle when things go zany, when they get quirky.
This is not funny. I would not say. It's a very like serious book.
Yeah.
It has like allegorical sort of elements, I guess. Like this woman is becoming a dog, sort of, but it's kind of like, is she losing her mind because she's trapped at home with her child all day and she used to have a job and stuff and now she doesn't? And how is she sort of coping with that?
Yeah.
But it's also not that long. And I think it's very well written.
Yeah. So, it's the experimental fiction that I struggle with. Because, and especially from white women, I just feel like there's often just a tone of self-importance that comes through that I don't love.
Well, but what if she's not just a white woman, but she's also part dog?
Yeah, for sure.
And you love dogs.
I mean, I love dogs. Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm like, please, if I could be a dog, I'd welcome
it. You.
Yeah,
I'm reading a book about a woman becoming a dog.
Is it very pro dog?
Two things that I don't like. Then, like, is it pro dog? I would say yes. Okay, it's very anti cat. I'll say that.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have left it.
Anti-cat, pro-dog, pro-mother. Okay. I would say anti-father, pro-child, pro-raw meat, pro
Well, I'm a vegetarian,
trees.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I love trees.
It's very, very, yeah, there's a lot of meat going on in it.
There's
so
a lot,
I will say that.
Yeah.
Okay,
okay, something to think
about. Report back.
For sure.
Otherwise, you can also just watch the movie, you know?
Yeah, I'll just wait.
Although I am very intrigued to see what this looks like as a movie, because she turns into a dog, you know? So it's like,
oh my gosh, spoiler alert.
I mean, that's what it's about. It's like, but how are they going to do that with Amy Adams? Like, is she going to be crawling around?
I mean,
or?
Cats unlocked some serious tech that helps realistic animal human hybrids. So they just have to trot that out. Oh, has Amy Adams said anything about J.D. Vance? Or
I don't know. I feel like she's in hiding.
She's like, no.
I don't think that she's started her press tour yet. But Night Bitch is going to Toronto, which means that people will be watching it then at the very latest. And it honestly might go to Telluride or Venice first. I'm not sure. So she will be on tour for that movie starting at the end of August, and people will definitely be asking her about Hillbilly Elegy. I am certain. Yeah.
Unless it's in her writer that she can't be asked.
There's no way. Like,
she's like, please.
That's the first question that anybody's gonna ask, and I feel like it's not that hard for her to, like, you know.
Right, it's not
like
she's
a smart enough person, I think, to be like, hey, like, look, at the time I thought it was an important story or whatever. Like, I didn't realize the author was a crackpot. Because he used to be a Never Trump person, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the movie was like, what, 3 years ago?
The movie, I think, was while you were out on maternity leave, so 2020.
Oh, yeah, so 3 years, yeah. I'll admit that this episode is a little all over the place, but I am excited for the Thursday episode. I've been waiting for this all summer.
For Twisters.
For Twisters.
Yes. I'm excited to talk about Twisters as well. And I mean, it was a guest, 4-star. Which we haven't had in eons.
I know. And I realize you've never done an episode with her. I've always just had her on when you're gone.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well.
So, a little teaser.
I have not seen the original Twister, so there's that. But I think that's a good perspective to have.
I want you to watch. I mean, it doesn't play into it, but I think it'll be interesting to have your perspective. Because I came into this film with so much nostalgia wrapped up in it. So.
Okay. Well, if I have time, I'll watch it. We'll see about that.
Okay.
I do want to watch it because I have seen portions of it. Like,
it's so good.
It's one of those movies that I think my parents watched while I was a child. Yeah. And so I sort of, I have images from it in my mind, but I haven't watched it as an adult.
Well, it's that special type of movie where...
Oh, wait, we actually can't talk about
adult.
It.
It's adult. Okay,
save it. Save it. Save it. Save it. Okay. Save it for the pod. But yes, we'll be back on Thursday to discuss Twisters, Glenn Powell, Daisy Edgar Jones, 900 other people. And yes, see what strange political things have happened in the next 2 days before we record again. Who knows why? Okay. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll be back later this week. Bye.